Good afternoon. If you could just turn to your neighbors and say, God is in this place, and let's listen to the word of God. Would you tell each other, God is in this place? The title for today's message, if you could just look at it, title is very important. It's called Gospel of the Kingdom. Straight from the scripture, gospel is the kingdom. Is that the kind of Christianity you believe in? To so many people, you're probably wondering. Well, we see this expression, Gospel of Kingdom, three times in Matthew, chapter 4, chapter 9, and later on one more time. And when Jesus began his ministry, he proclaimed the gospel of kingdom. Okay? Why is that a good news? Because you who are enemy, you're born as enemy. You just born as enemy of that kingdom. By his great mercy, and it's a great, great mercy, you became citizen of this kingdom that is eternal. That is why it is a good news. I'm going to ask you, you don't have to say, you want to think about your citizenship. I know not all of us are U.S. citizens. That's okay. There's no problem with that. But not all of you may be a kingdom citizen. If you are a kingdom citizen and you are certain about that, would you say amen?
Amen.
And I'm sure all of you heard. Some of you said amen. Some of you couldn't. Okay, and that's just the way it is. And the Christianity and the gospel is about kingdom. You become a citizen of the kingdom, implying that you have your king, and you listen to him, you obey him. We sang that we want to please him. Yes, basically you obey him, right? And problem with this citizens of kingdom that is not of this kingdom is not that they can't, but they don't want to obey him. They hate him. Haters of God. Okay? So, by his great mercy, I have been forgiven. You know, that's a big word. If you have forgiven, have you ever been forgiven in your heart? Look at me, people. Yeah. Should not wander your eyes. Have you ever been forgiven? All of your filth, all of your wrongdoings, all of your rebellion. And if you have experience, you know what I'm talking about. Because you have been forgiven, I became the citizen of God's kingdom of God, and I became a child of God. You not only become a citizen of the kingdom, but you become a sons and daughters of God. That's Christian message. Not fairy tale, not after you die, it's already. If you are kingdom citizen, you are sons and daughters of living God, and you live with confidence, because the sovereign king is your father, okay? Therefore, this king, Messiah himself, came and established this eternal kingdom. You know, Bible is about eternal kingdom. United States of America, it's not going to be an eternal kingdom. Babylon was not an eternal kingdom. Probably the longest kingdom that ever existed was the Roman Empire. About 1,000 years, if you study it, divided into three different sections. Eventually, they all crumble down. Roman Empire doesn't exist anymore. You understand that? There is no eternal kingdom, but Bible speaks about, listen, eternal kingdom. You become a citizen of God's kingdom. That's what salvation is. And you would wonder, how is it possible that it's an eternal kingdom? It's an eternal kingdom because king is eternal. Amen. That's why. It's prophesied like 600-700 years ago in 2 Samuel chapter 7 through the son of David, through the descendant of David. And there's going to be a kingdom through this king, Messiah. Okay, the Messiah is the Hebrew word, And the Greek translation is Christ. That's what it means. Christ. Messiah and Christ, same thing. And Jesus is the Messiah. And he's the Christ. And he came into history to establish this kingdom. And you may be part of it, or you may not. Are you part of that kingdom? Otherwise, you are lost and in enmity with the living God. That's what Scripture is saying. Today, we're finishing up Matthew chapter 9. Chapter 8 and 9 is basically the author of the first book of the New Testament. Now, think with me. First book of the New Testament. It's got to be an important book. First Gospel and Matthew recorded 9 miracles to display this Messiah's authority and power. Okay, 9 miracles, 3 sets of triads. I've been sharing this. And we're finishing up last 2 of the last triad. Okay, and it's a pretty obvious kind of miracles. Jesus opening the eyes of blind people. Jesus opening the mouth of a mute who was demon-possessed. But interestingly, it's recorded as the 8th and 9th and the final last 2 miracles that display the authority and the power of this person. And he's the king and he's the Messiah. And he has the authority over what? We've been talking about this. All sicknesses. All deformities, he heals immediately, completely, and just immediately. Every single disease. Okay? Not only that, every demonic spirit, evil spirit, Satan trembles before him. This person of Jesus. Is that the kind of Christianity you believe in? Not only that, he has all the nature, and I would put history in his hand. All the nature is in his hand. COVID is not an accident. It's not something happened in China. You know, it's not that. It's nothing that happens without God knowing about it. Nothing. And this person has absolute authority over nature and history. He has authority to forgive sin. Bible says, who could forgive sin except God alone? God forgives sin. If you don't have forgiveness, you're going to die in your sin. And until you die, you're going to live as a slave to sin, Bible says. Not my words. Straight from the scripture, Romans, Galatians. You live as a slave to sin right now. Right now. You're a slave to sin. And last week, to top all of these, he has absolute authority over death. Something that you and I cannot avoid. Cannot avoid. All men are destined to die. And then there is a judgment. I don't believe it. You could do whatever you want. But scripture says, all men are destined to die. And then there is a judgment. So he has authority of all these. And today, to complete that section of Matthew chapter 8 and 9, 8th and 9th miracles, one is to open the eyes of blind men, 2 men. And then open the mouth of a mute person. So you may be thinking, I know these 2 stories are unique to Matthew, but not unique to the gospel. Jesus heals Bartimaeus and other blind people. He heals every sickness. He opened the mouth of other people. Yes, this is not very, very special. But why did Matthew then put this in the closure of this important section? And then he talks about the gospel of kingdom. What is the gospel of kingdom? What kind of Christianity do you believe in? That's what we want to talk about. Okay? And the question, to answer that question, why did the author placed these two seemingly not so important miracles, it's a casual, I mean, usual miracle, why is it placed that in placed in such an important place? And perhaps there is an intention of the author, and the author carefully selected these two miracles, make his point. What could be the point that he's trying to make? Two things. Number one, listen carefully. When you become a Christian, this is what happened to you. Your eyes will be opened. Your mouth will be opened. Those of you who understand, and then there are, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Your eyes will be opened. And your mouth will be opened. What would you talk about when your eyes are open and when your mouth is open? What would you talk about? Right? That's what's going to happen. Number one, the reason these two miracles that place it in a very important place in Matthew chapter 8 and 9 is because this is what happens to human beings when they are saved from sin and death and the slavery of Satan when you become a kingdom citizen. Secondly, this is what the scripture prophesied, which is very, very important. In Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5, listen to this. This is a messianic prophecies. In fact, that's all over the scripture. And this is one of them. And listen to this. When he comes, the eyes of the blind shall be opened. And the ears of the deaf will be unstripped. Then the lame men leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Do you get it? This was written 600 years ago, and Matthew is recording this, basically try to make a point that that person prophesies all over the Old Testament in Isaiah 7:35 is this man. That's what he's doing. Okay. Not only that, if you go to the next chapter, Matthew chapter 11, John the Baptist sent his disciples. He was in a prison, and he sent disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one that we've been waiting for? Are you the Messiah? Even John the Baptist wanted to confirm, I suppose. Are you the one, or should we wait for another person? And remember how Jesus answered in verse 4, go tell John what you have heard and what you have seen. The blind receive their sight, lame walk, and lepers cleansed, and deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. What is Jesus doing? Jesus is saying, just go tell them what you have seen and heard. Remember, this is what is written in the Old Testament. I am that person. I am that person. I am the fulfillment of that person. Has your eyes been opened? What happens if your eyes are not opened? You're in darkness. You're in darkness. Look at me, people. You are in darkness. And that is no exaggeration. You do not see. What happens unless your eyes are open and your mouth is loosened? You don't talk what you need to talk. You can't. You talk a lot. You talk passionately. You spit. I mean, you know, spit naturally comes out because you speak passionately, but you don't speak what you need to speak. Do you follow? So today we'll be looking at these two miracles, last two miracles, carefully and see what Matthew really wants to speak to us. Chapter 9, verse 27. Okay, here's the first miracle, the eighth miracle, Jesus opening the eyes of the blind. As Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him. Now, picture with me, people. Two blind men follow Jesus, crying aloud. Can I try? It's loud. They're following two blind men. Have mercy on us, son of David. They were saying again and again and again. They were making a scene. Whole lot of crowd was following. But they were courageous. You know, if you want to come to Christ, you're going to have to be courageous. We talked about this last week. The woman who was healed with 12 years of bleeding, she risked her life breaking the law, came behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his cloak. She's not supposed to do that. But she's not allowed to do that. She could be possibly sentenced and stoned to death. But she came because she was desperate. Unless you're desperate and courageous, you're going to remain like that. All of you are going to just remain like that. Can you look here? Yeah. You don't want to look there, right? You're going to remain like that. Husband and wife cannot speak the truth to one another. You can't. Right? It takes courage. So, have mercy on us, son of David. And then Jesus went into the house, and the blind man came to him, following him, and Jesus speaks to them first. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? What is he doing? You know, whenever Jesus asks questions in the Bible, what is he doing? Is Jesus really trying to figure out this man is really serious or not? He knows all men, what is in him, and he's an omniscient person. Why does he ask questions then? Because when Jesus asks questions, you look at yourself. Remember in John chapter 21, Jesus asked Peter 3 times, do you love me? Could you look at me, people? Do you love me? I hope you do. If you are a sheep of this congregation, I hope you, I'm going to ask you to answer. Do you love me? Would you say amen?
Amen.
Some of you say, get lost. Exactly. It depends on who's asking the question. So when Jesus asked, do you love me? What do you think Peter did? Peter looked at Jesus. And what did Jesus do for Peter? He loved him and he gave himself for him. It'll melt his heart. When Jesus speaks, the faith is generated. When Jesus speaks. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Do you see? There's a progression. I believe they came with faith. Without faith, there is no way they would come. Do you understand that? And then Jesus touched their eyes and saying, according to your faith, let it be done. According to your faith. You know, you're going to live what you believe. Do you know that? I believe in Jesus, but my life never changes, which means you believe something else. That's why it never changes. Right? He touched their eyes, and according to your faith, let it be done. And their eyes were opened. Very, like, nonchalant. And just, yeah, it was open. No big deal. For Jesus healed all sicknesses. Their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows about this. He's telling them, don't tell anybody about this. And interestingly, Matthew records their response, disobedience. But they went away and spread his fame to all the district. You know why? Because when you meet Jesus, you cannot help but to speak about him. Your mouth will be open, your eyes will be open, your mouth will be loosened. You will not help but to speak about him. That's what happens when you meet Jesus. And imagine the difference between the life before of that woman with the 12 years of bleeding disorder, unclean, isolated, and I share this emotion. She was probably tired of life. She spent every dollar she had, not dollar, whatever, denarian she had, to be healed, but there is no cure. She was probably very tired of life. Are you tired of life? I see so many people tired of life. You get up in the morning and you have no reason to get up. Just feed my kids, I have to go to work. Is that the purpose of my life? Why do I have to get a job? There's no purpose. You're so empty and tired. And she was so lonely and isolated and tired. Can you imagine after touching Jesus, that was healed? What would that life look like afterward? From tiredness, she probably won't be able to stop talking about this for the rest of her life. Her eyes are opened, her mouth is opened. I think that's what would happen. Two blind men following and crying aloud, have mercy on us. Right attitude. You know, people are so arrogant and proud. Without God, there is no salvation, and people come with arrogance. But they came with such broken heart. Have mercy on us, Son of David. What is that expression? This is the first time in the New Testament that expression is coming, Son of David, King David. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, God made a covenant with David, David, that through your descendant, there's going to be a kingdom that is eternal. It's going to be an eternal kingdom. Through this king, through one of your descendants, through the Messiah, there's going to be an eternal kingdom. How is it going to be an eternal kingdom? I already explained. The king is eternal. King is eternal. Okay? So, Son of David is a messianic title. So they came for seeking mercy with the right attitude. Son of David, have mercy on us. That's the way we need to be sitting here today. If you're just, let's check out this guy. Let's check out this church. You have wrong attitude. You should be humble. So desire to listen. Okay. Story, as the story progresses, that's exactly why they were crying out and believed that Jesus is the Messiah. And that's exactly what the author is trying to convey here. He is the Messiah. Right? Jesus asked and spoke to them his word. Do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe? Can I ask you? Look at me. Jesus is asking you, do you believe? Don't tell me you believe if you're not going to follow. Because you don't believe. Remember, I always give you this illustration. Mr. Josh Cho, am I your pastor? Amen. Do you trust me? Well, that was weak. Do you trust me? Amen. Okay, then I tell Josh, in about 5 minutes, this building will crumble down. Josh, do you believe it? I said it. Okay, then what would you do? You will run out. That's what you will do if you believe. Otherwise, you do not believe. You say you believe, but you do not believe. Do you follow that? It's very, very reasonable, very, very logical. Why is your life not responding? Because you do not believe. Because you do not believe. Christ may return any moment, imminency of return of Christ. If you believe, what would you do? You would repent and seek to live a life of holiness for him. That's Christian life. Why don't you do that? Because you do not believe. Simple as that. So, what is this two story about? Yes, Lord, and he touched their eyes according to your faith and be done, and their eyes were opened. That's exactly what happens when you believe in Jesus. Has your eyes been opened? Has your eyes been opened? Opening eye of the eyes, the story of eyes being opened is written in the scripture, and there are very significant stories. I love Acts chapter 9 story. Saul, his eyes being opened. Such a great story. But I'm not going to talk about today. But instead, I want to talk about Luke 24. Luke 24 is the last chapter. Now, wait a minute. The story that I'm about to share is the story of two disciples on the way to Emmaus and on the day of first resurrection day. But every gospel finishes with Great Commission, But Luke's gospel story finishes with story of two disciples on the way to Emmaus. What's going on? Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I commanded you. That's the purpose of life if you're a kingdom citizen. Amen. That's the purpose of the church if this is God's church. That's what Matthew speaks about. That's what Mark speaks about in Mark chapter 16. And John chapter 19 as well. Just as Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Everything ends with Great Commission. But it's kind of odd that Luke 24 ends with the story of two disciples who were confused. On the day of first Easter Sunday, these two disciples, one of them, his name was Cleopas, they were walking from Jerusalem, probably running for safety toward Emmaus, which was about 7 miles. They were walking 7 miles. And in this final episode of Luke 24, Jesus shows up. Resurrected Jesus actually showed up, standing next to him, start walking with them. Could you picture that? But it says, their eyes were kept from recognizing them, and they could not recognize who Jesus is. Their eyes were blind, closed. So you don't recognize Jesus. That's the exact description of you, unless God opened your eyes. That's you. You heard about it, but your eyes are kept from seeing Jesus. And Jesus kind of asked the question, what are you guys talking about? And they say, we're talking about, are you real? Have you not heard about this Jesus of Nazareth? Everybody's talking about it. That's the top news. And then he gives four things about this Jesus. This Jesus of Nazareth was a man who was a prophet, mighty in deeds and words. He was a prophet, mighty in miracles and his word before God. Secondly, but he was condemned to death and he was crucified. He died. And then they said, but we were hoping that he was the one who will redeem Israel, that he's the Messiah. They were hoping that. And then the fourth thing they said, but this morning, our ladies, our sisters, went to the tomb and they found that the tomb is empty. And then they kind of say that they saw the vision of the angel saying that he's alive. So he heard about all of these. But he was confused. Are you like that? Many of you are like that. You heard about Jesus, but you don't have confidence. That's why you can't talk. You're mute. When you pray, you pray like a mute. That's why you're blind. And then Jesus said to them, listen, oh, foolish ones, who are slow in your heart to believe what the prophets have spoken to you. What kind of emotion do you sense? I think Jesus is, you're slow to believe what the prophets have been spoken. What is that? Word of God. And many of you are very slow to believe. If you believe, you will move. But you're slow to believe. And it aches the heart of Jesus. Oh, you foolish ones. Slow to believe. Look at me, people. Slow to believe. So slow to believe. You've been going to church 10 years, 20 years. You're born in church. Still not following him. You're slow to believe. And then he said, was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? What is he talking about? His suffering and death. Was it not necessary? What does that mean? Why does Jesus speak like that? Why is it necessary that happens? Because it is written in the scripture. Because through his suffering and death, you will be forgiven. That's why it's necessary. And then he began to work with these people, these slow people. Beginning with Moses and the prophets and all the prophets, and he interpreted to them from all the scriptures concerning himself. You know what? This is an amazing verse. Basically, you know what he did? He was explaining from Genesis all the way to Malachi, basically all the prophets and all the law concerning himself. He was interpreting to them. You know what? This is exactly what pastors need to do. This is exactly what the church needs to do. That's why we're having ambassadors conference. Because this is not happening. This is not happening all over throughout history. That's why it is the truth fight. Now think about it. All scripture, Genesis to Malachi, concerning himself. It's about Christ. That is why preaching needs to be Christ-centered. Does that make sense? If you leave Christ out and take moral lessons, you are taking the most important ingredient out and giving them moral lessons, dead moral lessons, which you could never be able to follow anyway. This is an amazing verse. Beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And that's exactly what the pastors need to do. I hope that's what you're doing if you're leading, teaching Bible to people. In other words, through Genesis, you see Christ. Leviticus, you see Christ. Numbers, you see Christ. Samuels, you see, your kings, you see Christ. Judges, you see Christ. All the prophets, you see Christ. And who's doing this? Jesus. Can you picture this? This is the last episode of Luke's gospel, and this is what Jesus is doing. Jesus. Do you think that's important? Absolutely important. If the pulpit is not preaching about Christ, concerning himself from the scripture, leaving that out, how can you be saved? How can you possibly become a Christian? Are you tired? Don't be tired. How can you become a Christian? How can you be forgiven and set free from sin and live this life with worthy purpose? How can you possibly become a citizen of God's kingdom? You don't. You don't. Okay. So they ended up in a motel, and Jesus was at the table with them. Look, listen to this. And he took the bread and blessed and broke it. Communion, I don't know. They were having a meal. And gave it to them. And that's when their eyes were opened. Here is the eye-opening story. That's when their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. And guess what they saw? They see Jesus. Until then, you don't see Jesus. And then Jesus disappeared. Okay? Jesus shows up and he disappears whenever he desires. And then they are talking amongst themselves, two disciples. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" While he talked to us on the road, and he opened the scripture for us. Now, let me ask you, there's opening of the scripture, there's an opening of the eyes. Which came first? Opening of the scripture. And then there is an opening of the eyes. First opening is the opening of the scripture. Second opening is the opening of the eyes. And then what did they do? When the scripture was opened, when they saw resurrected Christ, what did they do? They sat there and just life went on happily ever after? No. They went back to Jerusalem, where the danger was, back to 11 disciples. They returned to Jerusalem and told 11, "The Lord has risen indeed." Their mouth was opened. Has your mouth been opened? Many of you are mute. You're mute. You're blind people. You can't really say it. "The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon," and they told what happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And then the final story, It's that same Jesus, on the same evening, Jesus appeared before the 11. Judas died, so 11 disciples, they were in fear, they were hiding themselves, and Jesus shows up, boom! Glorify that, shalom. Okay? And then Jesus said to the 11 disciples, "These are my words I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law and the prophets," everything that is written about in the Bible, "must be fulfilled." Didn't I tell you that? Right? And then the next verse says, verse 45 says, amazing thing. "Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scripture." I see three opening that Jesus does. Opens the scripture, opens your eyes, and opens your mind. Then you understand the scripture. It's all Jesus' work. He needs to open the scripture first, and then he needs to open your eyes, and then he needs to open your minds. We see three times in this chapter. And then he says, what do you see when your eyes are open? He describes the kingdom gospel. Here it is. "He opened their minds and to understand the scripture and said to them, 'This, thus it is written that the Christ must suffer, and in 3 days he must rise from the dead. And through repentance, the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in the name to all nations, starting from Jerusalem and to the older nations.'" When your eyes open, do you know what you see? That Christ must suffer and die and resurrected. And this message of Jesus through repentance, the gospel of forgiveness, needs to be preached from here to all the nations. That's what you will see. That's the kingdom gospel. So the Great Commission is here in Luke 24. It's there in Matthew, it's there in Mark, it's there in Luke, and it's there in John's Gospel. If you are in Christ and your eyes has been opened, scripture has been opened, and your mind has been opened, that's the purpose of your life. If not, you're lost, you're confused. You're confused. You're looking for a church that with a better Sunday school. I hear that. I hear that. You're looking for a church that will make you very, very comfortable. No. That's a poison to you, people. That's a poison to you because that's not the truth. When your eyes are opened, when your mouth is, what would you speak? When your eyes open, what would you see? You see this grand picture of what the Lord is doing, the kingdom gospel. What's the kingdom gospel? That God is doing something from Genesis all the way to his return. What is he doing? Through his suffering, coming and suffering and death and resurrection, this message of forgiveness of sins will be preached through your repentance. Without repentance, you're lost, people. You're lost. You are lost. You are religious lost people without true repentance. And this gospel must go from Jerusalem all the way to all the nations. That's what you will be concerned about. Amen. If you hear it, would you say amen?
Amen.
You know, I came back from Africa about 10 days ago now. And, you know, I did two classes with them since I came back. It's surreal because I was there 10 days ago. Now I'm seeing them from New York. But we're still teaching this truth. This truth. Because prosperity gospel and gospel of the kingdom, it's impossible to cohabit. I don't think it's possible. Prosperity gospel is what you want to hear, what your flesh wants to hear, what your sinful flesh desires to hear. And until God sets you free, you are a slave to that flesh and sin. You are. And you're so blind. You're blind. You're like Cleopas. Yes, I heard of Jesus. Yes, he was mighty. Yes, yes. He was great teaching. Yes, we thought he was the Messiah. Yes, I heard about his death. But that's it. You do nothing. You do nothing after that. But when their eyes were opened, what happened? They went back to Jerusalem and tell the church, yes, he has risen. Indeed, he has risen. He was able to say that. When your eyes opened, you're going to see that Christ must suffer. And Christ must die. And Christ must be resurrected. That is the gospel message. And through that, through the gospel of repentance, the gospel of forgiveness will be preached from here to all the nations. Can I just ask you, have you truly seen that gospel of repentance open in your eyes, in your life? Would you say amen if you have?
Amen.
Rest of you are blind. Rest of you are blind. You see, but you do not see. You breathe, but you are not alive. That's what the scripture is teaching. Second and the last miracle, ninth miracle, is Jesus heals a man who was unable to speak. And they were going away. Behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute. That's exactly what the condition of human beings are. You know why you cannot speak about Christ? Because you are demon-oppressed. Oh, what do you mean, Pastor? Bible says you are yoked with Satan. If you are not in Christ, you are yoked with Satan. You're kind of like lying on a bed with Satan together. Yoked. You know what yoke is? It's the wooden instrument in Palestine and Korea too to tie two cows together. So it's kind of like marriage. That wooden piece around your neck and tie two cows together. And you are, Bible says, yoked into slavery with Satan. So picture that, people. Picture that. That's you. Without when you're not in Christ. That's why when you hear the truth, you get angry. I did a Bible study recently about mercy and forgiveness, and someone got really, really upset. Like, mercy of God, and you get upset? It's pretty amazing, isn't it? You're yoked with Satan, slavery of Satan. You go to work with Satan, yoked. You do marriage, yoked with Satan. That's why marriage is so tough. You cannot speak honestly and you know, nicely. Because it's all self-centered, right? Full of anger and bitterness. You're yoked with slavery. That's why pornography, sexual sin, and all of that is just rampant. Rampant. Your love of money, and you wake up and check the stock market, it's rampant. You are just crazy, yoked with Satan. Oppressed. Demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him, and the demon has been cast out. Nothing special. Jesus cast him out, and mute man spoke. That's exactly what happens when you meet Jesus, when you are born again. What do you think that describes when your eyes are opened and you see a different world? What do you think that describes? Sounds like regeneration, being born again, being born again. You with a new nature, with the Spirit of God within you. And we see two responses. The crowds marveled, saying, never was anything like this seen in Israel. And they said, oh, we have never seen anything like that in Israel. And that's it. The crowd, they marvel, but they don't do anything. Many crowd in the church, they marvel. Oh, wonderful to hear the report from Africa last week, but you don't do anything about that. And then there's another group of people, the religious people, who are haters of Jesus, and basically Pharisees said, he's casting out demons by the power or the prince of demons, Beelzebub. So they're accusing Jesus, always accusing Jesus. Do you follow? Okay. This last miracle of mouth being open, a mute being able to speak, and this last, second to the last miracle of two blind men seeing, is exactly what happens when you come to Christ. Until you come to that, you're blind and you're mute. Come to Christ. That's why Jesus, come to me. My yoke is easy. You will be yoked with Jesus. You'll be yoked with Jesus. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Learn of me, for I am humble and gentle. All you weary, heavy burdened, you're tired of life because you do not have Christ. You don't have meaning. Sin, the weight of sin is upon your chest. You feel guilty. You feel ashamed. That's why you have to lie all the time. People who are addicted with pornography and drugs, they have to lie all the time. You become a chronic liar. You don't even try, you lie. And Satan is the father of lies. I hope you see the connection. You know why you constantly lie? Because you're yoked with Satan. I want to close. We're finishing up this section in the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, where the author states who this person of Jesus is by giving nine miracles, carefully selected nine miracles. I think if you are just being reasonable, I hope you are convinced. Either this is a complete garbage or he is God. He's Messiah. You come to that conclusion. And today, two blind men, and that's you, came to Jesus crying aloud, have mercy on us, Son of David. Would you be willing to do that? Or continue to live like this? Come to Christ, people. Come to Christ. When your eyes open, you're going to see what God is doing. This gospel of repentance through a gospel of forgiveness through repentance must go from here to all the nations. What has Africa got to do with me? What has Stony Brook got to do with me? What has Hicksville got to do with me? You don't see anything until your eyes opened. You know why? Because sin blinds your eyes, completely blinds your eyes. Next week, Jesus is going to preach this gospel of kingdom. After describing who Jesus is, guess what happened? Harvest is plentiful, but workers are few. When your eyes open, you're going to see harvest. Am I boring you? Look at me, people. You're going to see harvest when your eyes opened. Harvest. My heart lips with joy. Driving to Stony Brook for last almost 2 years now, about 80 times in last 2 years. 80 times. These days I have a chauffeur. Felipe. I go with Felipe and he drives for me, so I take a 15-minute lap. So nice. But I've driven to Stony Brook 80 times in last year and a half. Went to Africa 35 times in last 21 years. I have nothing to boast. Nothing. But Lord gives me joy and purpose in my life. I desire to see a church, another church being planted through this church. I do. Because I want to see this gospel of forgiveness through repentance go forth from here to the nations. I see that. That's what God is doing. That's what God is doing. It's not about medical school. It's not about law school. It's not about children. It's not about this house. No. Those are all just the means. You know what salvation is? Salvation brings salvation to the lost, but salvation brings to glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. We sing. We want to live for the glory of God. How do you do that? Being part of what God is doing, the Great Commission. Amen. Bring glory to God. Whether you are a dentist or whether you're married, whether you are Korean, whether you're American, doesn't matter. You live for the glory of God. When your eyes are opened. You don't even have to be a college graduate to do that. I mean, please go to college if you can, but you don't have to. You don't even have to be married. You don't. But this life will just pass on, right? Can you believe next week is November? Even the young people these days say, the clock is ticking really fast. All the young people, if that is true, would you say amen? You know, when I was young, when I was in college, time went so slow. I was a Stony Brook student. You know, I get up in the morning, have breakfast, I go to class, and I walk around, and still not lunchtime yet. It felt like that. But this, right now, before you know it, is November. That's how life is, people. The Bible teaches that he's coming back soon, and the gospel of kingdom must be preached. And that's what God is doing. When your eyes are opened, that's what you will see. When you meet Jesus, your mouth will be opened. Until then, you're a mute. You're a mute. May God open your eyes and open your tongues. Let's pray.